Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Leighton Hewitt, and you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
Just over 24 hours until the Australian Open men's singles final between Andy Murray and Novak Djokovic yet again. Myself, David Law, here on The Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, has two very, very special guests today. Because I've got the Five Live BBC Radio team with me, and we're looking forward to this. Gigi Salmon and first tennis correspondent Russell Fuller. Russell, we've been here before, it seems to me.
It's a familiar sight, isn't it, to see Andy Murray and Novak Djokovic walking out in the final. If I were Andy Murray, I wouldn't be looking at the head-to-head record, which doesn't make for particularly good reading. I think I'd be trying to remember the way I played, perhaps as far back as that Wimbledon final of 2013 and the US Open final of 2012, and in particular, the matches in which he had some success against Djokovic last year. He beat him in Montreal. He was playing an aggressive brand of tennis there, and certainly in the third and fourth sets at Roland Garros, again, he really took the fight to Djokovic, and it paid dividends. He lost the match, ultimately, and that's the biggest conundrum in tennis, isn't it? How you beat this man over five sets.
How do you beat this man in five sets? Gigi Salmon and I have been talking this through over the course of the week. We've got no idea, have we?
I was going to say, come to me with the easy question. Thank you for that. We've been speaking, I remember asking Leon Smith, the Great Run Davis Cup captain, in the commentary box, saying, how do you beat him? And he said, again, well, that's the question. And you talk to a lot of people, they say you have to hope he has a dip or he has an off day. But that's a lot to ask for a player to come out, especially if it's Novak Djokovic that came out against Roger Federer. Those first two sets of tennis, he was unplayable. The guy doesn't have a weakness. Some people clutching at straws say, oh, he could be better at the net with his volleys. But you know what I mean? He's still going to blitz you off court if you're just waiting for him to miss a couple of volleys. The guy is good. The guy is great. Andy Murray is a massive underdog, which is crazy considering he's the second best player in the world. And no one's giving me a shot. No one thinks I can do this. And maybe that will work to his advantage because he'll go in relaxed. He's about to be a father. He'll play his game and you never know.
He is a bit of a contrarian, isn't he? He does like to prove people wrong. So maybe, you know, maybe the fact that we're all writing him off. I mean, a year ago, I think on the eve of this final, a year ago, it was more or less 50-50 if you canvassed opinion. A lot of people thought that Murray would win. I haven't found anybody who thinks Murray will win.
No, it's absolutely crazy. But Novak Djokovic has just come on. He's improved. If that's even possible, he's improved since then. I mean, look, he took three of the four major titles, the Grand Slams, last year, and then he lost in the final of the French. It will have devastated him. He got rid of Nadal, couldn't get rid of Wawrinka on his day. He just upped his level, and the way he destroyed Rafa Nadal at the start of this year, people were shaking in their boots. He's found a level. Yes, there's the 100 unforced errors, one of us had to say it, against Gilles Simon, but he's going to use that to make himself even better and wipe out those errors. That the guy is absolutely phenomenal. I think we can start putting him in legend status. The guy is incredible, but Andy Murray does like to prove people wrong, and who knows, tennis is a funny old game.
You're the tennis correspondent to the BBC, Russell. Where would you put Novak Djokovic in the pantheon of all-time greats right now?
He's got a good chance of finishing his career as the most decorated player of all time. I think he can catch Federer's tally of 17 Grand Slams. He's only seven behind now, and he has power to add over the next few years. I think there's a slow, gradual appreciation of his qualities as well from tennis fans around the world. That's hard in this era, but when you look at what he's achieved over the past 12 months, he's done things that, in my mind, no other tennis player has ever done already. Federer has won three Grand Slams in a season on three occasions, I believe it is. Djokovic has done it twice, but to have won the events he has, and in over 12 months now, to have reached 17 finals in a row. And we're not talking about lots of small events where there's no competition. The overwhelming majority of those have been Grand Slams or Master Series events or World Tour finals. In this day and age, when there's so much on the line at all of these tournaments, to continually come out week after week, never been done before. Suspect it may never be done again in future.
That's what we think. Now, how about this? Goran Ivanišević really doesn't know what you do against Novak Djokovic.
The way he's playing, I mean, he's playing... He's controlling everything. I saw him last night, you know, even when he's break down, he's just even not upset, you know, because he knows he's going to break next game. He can break next five games. He's just playing. He's deciding how long he's going to spend on the court, you know. He's so dumb. He can do whatever he wants. He's really in some other area of tennis now, and it's going to be very tough to beat him in three sets.
Because I remember seeing Marin, obviously he wasn't fully fit, was he, at the US Open? He'd turned his ankle, but I remember seeing that match and there was a look on his face and your face as if to say, well, what can you do against this guy?
Yeah, in US Open, there was his ankle was not ready. But you cannot do at the moment not too much against this guy. You can hope, I don't know, that he maybe doesn't show up, that he bus or car goes to the other arena and he doesn't get on the time on the match. But at the moment, I don't know, honestly, as a coach, as an ex-player, what kind of tactics you can give to the player against Novak Djokovic.
And obviously you are looking to try to find the sort of tactics that will be able to beat him. Taking yourself out of it, how many Grand Slams could this guy end up with?
A lot. He can break all the records. If he's healthy, he's going to play another 5-6 years for sure. 2-3 a year. So let's count.
That's 20.
Yeah, a lot. He can win a lot. And there is thing that not too many guys can beat him. You have maybe a couple of guys. Wawrinka, for me, is one of them. Andy. Roger. But there are not too many guys, so it's just, you know, and you have like 2-3 guys that can beat you, maybe, for Grand Slam a year. Peace. That's a lot of Grand Slams.
So there's Goran Ivanišević, Russell. He doesn't even know how you would coach against this guy, and he's coached a man to a Grand Slam title. Do you feel that this is in some way cyclical, that players will develop techniques and weapons to counteract this guy, or people are just going to have to wait for him to retire before they start winning Grand Slam titles?
Well, Murray, of all the other top players, is the one who's most openly said, yes, I have been working on particular patterns of play against Djokovic over the winter to try and make sure that he has a plan to try and deal with him. I think at the same time, anybody who's world number two has very much got to back themselves. And the way Murray plays will affect the way Djokovic plays. Murray can't start as slowly as Federer did. That's a bit harsh because of the way Djokovic was playing. But if you look at the way Murray played against Raonic, consistently high level for over 4 hours, serving very well, second serve looked in a different league to the one we saw last year. If he's able to be aggressive, maintain that high percentage of first serves in, win lots of points on serve, then we've seen before, Djokovic can be rattled. Can he deal with that? I think that's all you can do, really. I don't think you can try anything particularly quirky or crazy. You've just got to back yourself and hope that the pressure that you put on your opponent in a Grand Slam final might actually take its toll.
Russell, Gigi and myself, part of the BBC Radio 5 live commentary team, we will be bringing live commentary of that final from 8:15 in the morning on Sunday. Gigi Salmon, we've been here a couple of weeks now. It's been wall-to-wall, hasn't it? Because it hasn't just been Andy Murray this time.
No, and it's incredible, isn't it? Yes, we haven't been on sightseeing buses and boats and long lunches and dinners, but the British excess, Johanna Konta's run, Gordon Reid in the wheelchair, doubles and singles, Jamie Murray in a doubles final, Andy Murray. There's been so many, and then there's the other stories that you throw in and everything that happened. It's been an incredible tournament. Our tennis producer who's with us, it's her first major tournament, and it's really been...
Good luck charm, isn't she?
I mean, she certainly is. We've had a little bit of everything. So far, so good, but it has been wall-to-wall tennis. But you know what? It's 2 weeks of your life at one time, and that's what you want. You're in amongst it, you're sucked in, and it's been absolutely fantastic.
What's been your highlight so far of the fortnight, Russell? Obviously, we've still got the climax to come, but what would you pick out?
Those first two sets that Djokovic played against Federer, I think, are probably the sets that will live long in the memory. And actually, the way Federer came back as well, and some of those rallies, I remember that rally that Federer won, the last point of the match he won in the fourth set, where he made a fabulous half volley, and then he ran down a smash, he scrambled for a lob, and in the end he hit the line with a pass. The noise in the stadium when that ball hit the line was just phenomenal. That was probably the most exciting moment. I think probably if you haven't been following the British fortune specifically, maybe people here in Australia will say, well, in fact, there haven't been quite the same number of really high-quality matches we've had in previous years. But we have had an Australian Open laden with stories. Yeah, some of those following on from the BBC and BuzzFeed's investigation into suspicious betting patterns. But there's always been something. There have been underdogs making runs, not just Johanna Konta, but how about Zhang Shuai making it all the way to the quarterfinals, having pretty much decided at the end of last year that I've had enough of losing in the first round of a Grand Slam, I'm off to go and open a coffee bar somewhere.
And Gigi, would you pick out anything specific as a personal favourite moment from the tournament?
Oh, Zhang Shuai, I welled up. When she welled up, I welled up. Her coach was bawling his eyes out. The post-match press conference when she beat Simona Halep, the press were welling up and they were crying because it's incredible. 133 in the world, she brought her parents over because it was her last tournament. Li Na had convinced her to play one more tournament. Then she knocks out Simona Halep. 14 occasions she'd gone out in the first round of a Grand Slam. Then she beats Simona Halep. The run keeps on going. She leaves here as China's number one player. She's inside the top 100, so she's getting access into all these tournaments. As Russell said, she said, look, I had a plan in place for this coffee bar. I think the coffee bar is going to have to wait. She's a gutsy competitor. It was a wonderful story, and that's what you get at Grand Slam, something like that. And for me, I think, just because it brought a tear to my eye.
I can understand that. It did to all of us, I think. Gigi Salmon, Russell Fuller, part of our BBC Radio 5 live commentary team. We will be bringing you live commentary on the men's singles final, 8:30 in the morning on Sunday. Do join us then. We'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.